You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
We're switching it up this week because of the moved up game to Saturday. We're doing the North Shore Drive podcast from Mike's Beer Bar on Wednesday. And we still got Brian Batko. We're going to ask, who should be the leader on the Steelers offense? We know the defensive leaders. Let's get the answers on who should be the leaders on offense and how that could change the tone of how the offense performs. We'll do that, answer a question about why Mason Rudolph isn't starting yet. And we'll get into our first looks at Steelers Colts with the injury reports and our predictions early in the week. It's the North Shore Drive podcast. Chris Carter, Brian Batko coming at you. Let's get into it.
You are now listening to the North Shore Drive podcast, a show on all things Pittsburgh sports from the writers of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, hosted by Christopher Carter.
Hello and welcome to the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with our esteemed Steelers beat reporter, Brian Batko. We're here on Wednesday. I'm here at Mike's Beer Bar in the North Shore Tavern right here in the North Shore of Pittsburgh. Normally, we do this for our Friday episode, but with the Saturday game, we're going to have our Friday episode be our opponent expert for the Akershire Fan Advantage. So look forward to that. We have Matt Taylor, who calls the games for the Colts and has a great perspective on them. We'll have a great conversation with him then. But for today, we talk about a lot of the things that need to be talked about right now, especially on the leadership component of this team. Before we do that, I want to remind you, this show is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. Go to Mike's Beer Bar today, and when you do, you'll see they have over 20 televisions that you can even reserve a TV for the game that you want to watch. And then when you get there, they have over 500 different available beers. 300 of those beers are local, 80 of those local beers available on tap at all times, and they're rotating new ones out every single week so that they can get you whatever kind of combination that you want. Get a flight. We'll even go over a flight that you could get for the Christmas times with all the different Christmas beers that are out here. You got to get to Mike's Beer Bar today. Also have amazing food. We'll have more on them later at Mike's Beer Bar. But Brian, let's talk about this Steelers team right now. I think everyone's acknowledging, even Ben Roethlisberger's coming back from his podcast, footballing, and talking about maybe the Steelers have lost their way and things like that. And I don't think anyone's saying that about the defense, because the defense has their defined leaders. Cam Hayward is still the flag bearer for the whole team on that side of the ball. T.J. Watt is a leader. Minkah Fitzpatrick still sounds impassioned, and people get behind him. But
didn't Ryan Clark say on ESPN there's nobody left in the
locker
room?
That's true. Ryan Clark said there's nobody, and I'm just like, that's a lot there. I think we can both
paid known exaggerator exaggerating things.
Exactly.
In fairness to him, I think he did follow up and say he didn't mean that literally. But come on, words matter when you have exactly that big of a platform. Let's not say things that are just not based in reality.
It would be one thing if Ryan Clark was new to like doing ESPN and media. If that was like his first like month on the show. He's been doing this for years now. He has to pivot. Like he can do better than that. And like, again, the defense to finally, no one looks at Minkah Fitzpatrick and says that guy's not a leader.
Well, I was going to say, if you don't think Cam Hayward, T.J. Watt, and Minkah Fitzpatrick appreciate being Steelers, then that's a hot take. Stand on that. Yeah, otherwise, yeah. Don't even blow that smoke into the air.
It was funny. Someone said, there's nobody in the locker room that could grab somebody with a face mask. And I'm like, I've seen Minkah Fitzpatrick grab somebody by the face mask and do a lot more than that during a practice.
Same thing with Cam Hayward.
Right. Like we've seen that. But the point is, on the offensive side of the ball, there isn't one bona fide leader who is the alpha, the leader, the guy that when he speaks, everyone else shuts up and gets behind it. And that might be the biggest problem with this team, because schematics are an issue still. You're still dealing with Matt Canada's playbook. You're still dealing with, you know, an offense that's you know, struggling to find its identity, thinking it can run the ball 1 week, but then not running the ball in third and fourth and two in key situations in the game. There's problems there. But even when problems have existed on the defensive side of the ball, there's been leaders to say, hey, I'm going to get us out of this. I'm going to make the big play. Brian, who do you think should be the leader of this offense right now?
Well, I think there are a lot of guys who have kind of had their chance and missed at it. Najee Harris being one of them. He was literally a captain last year. But when your own teammates don't vote you in again for that in year three, or for whatever reason, the coaching staff no longer felt that that was a good role for you to hold. I mean, I almost don't really blame him if he's kind of like, hey, I'm just a guy. I'm just one of the guys now. Mm-hmm. I'm just the starting running back. And that's probably another awkward dynamic of it too. When you're getting your role eaten into by the backup, Jaylen Warren, who's more efficient, more productive than you, it's probably difficult to really take on that mantle, right or wrong, just human nature. A guy like Pat Freiermuth from that same draft class, I think he certainly knows what it takes and wants to win. But if I were him, I'd kind of be like, you guys want me to be a leader? You don't even throw me the ball half the time. What are we talking about here? But in even some of the longer tenured players like Chukwuma Okorafor, he's been benched. You know, he could have been that guy for the offensive line, but it's either not his personality or it just never really was in his wheelhouse, I guess, or he never grabbed that role. Mason Cole was the center, even it's only his second year here. I think he does what he can, but
yeah,
you know, he's kind of a journeyman center for right or wrong. And that brings us to the quarterback room. It's just a mess between injuries and poor play and controversy that's gone throughout that depth chart over this last couple seasons, trying to replace Ben Roethlisberger. In an ideal world, Kenny Pickett's out there throwing for 300 yards and three touchdowns every week, and everybody rallies around the captain at quarterback. But we know that's not the world we're living in here. So it's hard to lead from the coach's box where he was against the Patriots on Thursday night. It's hard to lead from the locker room when you're dealing with injuries. And, you know, it's hard to lead just when you're a second-year player in the NFL and first full year as a starter. And you know you're not playing as well as you want to or people expect you to. So now that I've kind of rolled out and you know, Trubisky and Mason Rudolph, they get it. They've been around a long time. Trubisky, he strikes me as somebody like, even when he's going through some of these low moments right now with the Steelers, fans are chanting for him to be benched. I imagine there's at least one fiber in his being that's kind of like, I was the number two overall pick in Chicago and dealt with Bears fans. You can't kill me. I'm already dead inside, all right? Like, he's got a lot of armor built up around him as far as all that stuff goes. So I think, you know, if he plays better in this limited backup role window, sure, he can kind of keep guys on track. But anybody who's been benched for a younger player, that's a tough ask. And Mason Rudolph's been benched twice over, and we're going to talk about him more in the
next. Duck Hodges.
Yeah, and I don't think so. I think it'd be difficult for him to sort of be like a Charlie Batch type of dude in that number three
Right. Street.
Well, he's not in street clothes anymore, not that the emergency QB role, but knowing that you're going to be holding the clipboard unless the unthinkable happens, I don't know that you can really be going around setting the agenda. So I think in a perfect world, it should be Diontae Johnson. It should be a guy who played with Ben Roethlisberger, who came in 5 years ago, who's gotten the big second contract, who gets a lot of targets, who's been to the Pro Bowl. You know, that to me is somebody who, if your offense is slacking and nobody is really there to get you on pace, it should be one of the more longer tenured, most productive, most well compensated players. And you know, to be fair to him, Diontae Johnson, that's just not how he's wired, and he's said that from his rookie year, really, when, you know, he wasn't supposed to be the guy. Juju was there. Dante Moncrief was brought in as a veteran, but that didn't go very well. And, you know, that it was never really bestowed upon him like, hey, you're going to have to come in here and be the face of this offense someday. And I don't know that he ever has been, but that's just not something he's comfortable with. And then it brings you to tough discussions of, do you have to be comfortable being uncomfortable, or do we have to find somebody else to be that voice? And I think that's why Mike Tomlin, and he didn't really want to talk about this on Monday. I asked him about this, who's setting that pace in the offensive side of the locker room. And he said he doesn't get into that publicly. Well, I seem to remember you going on the Ryan Clark podcast and talking about cultivating leadership within Najee Harris and having him learn from the likes of Cam Hayward and TJ Watt. A year and a half later, you know, what happened to that? Where are we now with that? So I think sometimes the best laid plans, as they say, they don't go the way you expected them to. Now it puts him in a tough spot. It puts Deontay Johnson in a tough spot. And really this whole offense is in a tough spot. And I think it's not just, yes, the talent could be better, but there's some good players. We've seen flashes. We've seen 200-yard rushing games. We've seen the 400-yard game against Cincinnati. So it's not like these are a bunch of scrubs who just can't cut it. They're high draft picks almost across the board at the skill position groups. They have the ability to make plays in this league. Just doesn't seem like they have either the mental toughness or the wherewithal or something, the confidence right now to get them going.
I mean, the confidence, I think, is a big part of it. I mean, you look at it, like you said, you also have to be a leader on the field. And being a leader on the field means that you're winning consistently. You're not being a big problem for the team. And, you know, you're who can hard. Say it? Right, you're playing hard. Who's going to say that they're doing that right now? You know, maybe Isaac Seumalo. And I asked Broderick Jones who were the offensive leaders. And, you know, he named Seumalo, Kenny, and Mitch as, like, the first three people that were off his mind. But he notably didn't say Najee Harris, which I thought was very interesting because he used to point to Najee Harharris as the leader. Like, he's
and we've seen Najee talk about some of these closed-door, I don't know about players only, but at least a little bit of, like, behind-the-scenes moments. Yeah, fire and brimstone-type meetings. And, you know, maybe we're even past that point of this season right now. But yeah, and Seumalo, I assume a rookie like Broderick Jones mentions him because they spent a lot of time together in camp. And, you know, I think Ben Roethlisberger talked about this too. And Mason Rudolph mentioned this on Tuesday because I brought up to him the idea of are there enough guys on this offensive unit who know the Steelers way? And Mason, to his credit, was kind of like, well, what do you mean by that? I'm like, I guess just upholding the culture, the standards that were passed down to you when you got here in 2018. And he said, yes, there are, because even if somebody like Seumalo or James Daniels or Mason Cole hasn't been here for very long, they've been in the league for a long time. Right. I guess Ben Roethlisberger would contest that's not the same as being a longtime Steeler. So
I'd agree with that. And I think that that's where they're in a position right now where they need guys to step up, because I think we all said at the beginning of this year, this wasn't the year they were going to win the Super Bowl or even really compete for the Super Bowl. This was the year to set up the core and tone for next year to maybe be that year.
And now, some people were thinking Super Bowl after that 3-0 preseason hot streak. Not us.
But at the same time, like, the main goal of this year was to find the leaders, to find the tone. Obviously, the offense didn't find each other. They fired their offensive coordinator. Obviously, Kenny Pickett's been going through it. He's injured right now. We don't know when he'll be back for sure. But if they can still find the guys that can say, like, hey, next year we're setting the tone as soon as we touch down in August, and we're gonna be hitting the ground running instead of trying to figure out a whole bunch of things next year. Well, they'll still have to, because they'll have a new offensive coordinator, but there'll be leaders who everyone can identify. That's what has to happen in these last four games, and I think that's got to be crucial. But what also has to happen is people want to know what's going to happen at quarterback. We'll answer that question here on the Acrisure Fan Advantage segment of the North Shore Drive podcast. And a reminder, we're here at Mike's Beer Bar, where they have all the different kind of beers. They have 500 different available beers. 300 of those beers are local, and 80 of those beers are local beers are available on tap. And we always do what's our Friday flight. We're doing it on Wednesday now because we won't be here Friday as we do our talk for the Acrisure Fan Advantage. But two of our beers that you can come in right now. If you're into Christmas beers, you're in luck. You have the Full Pint Festivus. It's a winter warmer. It's 6%. It's flavorful. It'll get you ready for the holidays, and it's perfect for when you're dealing with the cold weather outside and it's getting a little chilly out. So you want to take advantage of that. You can also do the Penn Brewery Nut Roll Ale, which is a perfect Christmas beer. You can sit at home while you watch old Christmas classics to this beer, or you can come to Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh, and enjoy some of the festivities here. They got Christmas trees. They got all the lights. They got holiday music playing. It's a great time here at Mike's Beer Bar. And again, over 500 different available beers. You will not run out of favorites because there's so many here, and they're changing them out all the time. Get down here to Mike's Beer Bar. You can also enjoy great dinner meals as you get here. You can get a steak on a stone where you get your choice cut of steak brought to you on a heated stone, so that every time you cut off a piece of steak, you can press it into the stone and choose how well done you want every single bite of your steak. Get here to Mike's Beer Bar, the best beer bar in all of Pittsburgh. And when you get here, tell them Chris sent you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We're back here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter, Brian Badko, breaking things down. It is now time for the AccraShare Fan Advantage, where all season long, you can ask your questions to get answered right here on the show by our Steelers insider, Brian Badko. And you can also submit those questions to AccraShare.com/FanAdvantage, where you submit those questions, and we'll get you here right on the show. We also have our day before the game, where we interview an expert of the Steelers' opponent for this upcoming week. This week we got a Colts expert. It's going to be fantastic. But Brian, let's get to a question here that you have from Mary C., who asks, I was born and raised a diehard Steelers fan, and that will never change. But she's feeling disappointment from the coaches and owners right now, and she feels like some of this comes down to who they're choosing at quarterback. When you hear thousands of fans chanting Mason Rudolph, I don't know if it was thousands, but it was a lot of people. It was pretty loud during that Thursday night game. When you hear thousands of fans chanting Mason Rudolph, put the guy in. Heck, coach a game and not take millions of our dollars, and we will win. Moral support comes from within, talking about a lot of other things here, but bottom line, I think Mary wants to know, why aren't the Steelers at least giving Mason Rudolph a chance? And Brian, Mason Rudolph has had a chronicled history here with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's been giving his chances, but he hasn't, you know, ever since he was kind of benched a few times in the 2019 season. He's had like what, one other start, and that was against the Lions.
Yeah, two. I mean, he started the season finale, right, the meaningless one against the Browns in 21.
That's right. But they
lost. He had a turnover in the end, threw a pick in the end zone. In case you haven't been following the Steelers closely, Mike Tomlin doesn't like turning the ball over or interceptions.
Yeah, and I think that's where I think people have to understand a few things. One, Mason's had some chances, and he's been benched by a professional for a professional duck caller who's come in and like changed the tide and won some of those games. If you remember the Bengals in 2019.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about duck when I get to answering this from Mary C.
Right. And so, and my whole thing is this, there's a few things, but on top of that, Mitch Trubisky is getting paid $10 million. Mason Rudolph is making the vet minimum. There's a reason for that. And I know that some fans, you know, Mitch hasn't played well, but I think that there's a bit of the QB2 fashion where everyone wants to say, oh, just start the next guy, when you're not the ones in practice seeing that. But Brian, answer Mary's question here.
Yeah, Mason Rudolph himself even referenced that when he was asked, hey, did you hear the chants and what was your reaction? And it's kind of like, oh, believe me, I've been on both sides of that. And I just wanted to be like, we know, Mason. Those of us who have been here since 2019, we know you've been on both sides of that. So it is kind of funny. I mean, it's ironic. It's cyclical in this league. And one constant yes is, it wasn't that long ago, people were calling for Pickett to get benched and Trubisky to start. And now that Trubisky's starting and not playing very well, it's bench him and put Mason Rudolph in there. Back in 19, it was bench Rudolph, put Duck Hodges in there. And I'll say this much, I don't agree with you as so much, Chris, about the salary aspect of it. I think when you get to this point in the season, it doesn't really matter what you're paying guys. You got to, right. And I know your point too is that the league has sort of spoken on these two players. You know, but Trubisky was benched in Chicago. The Bills were his lifesaver as a backup, and then the Steelers came in, bid pretty aggressively for him in free agency and brought him here for this opportunity. Then I was a little mystified at their extension of him last offseason. That's kind of a topic for a different day. Right. And yet it does bring me to, you make that move with Trubisky to lock him up for another couple of years. You circle back to Rudolph, who you're comfortable with, and vice versa. I think we all kind of know he was hoping to get a change of scenery in year six, and it just didn't pan out for him, which, to your point, an indictment of Rudolph himself, that none of the other 31 teams wanted to sort of rescue him from coming back to Pittsburgh as the number three. And yet, part of the problem I have with how this QB room's been constructed this year is that you don't really have a young guy who could potentially come in here and give an offense a much-needed jolt.
You know, I agree.
I was reminded of this watching the games Monday night. In my mock draft in the spring, I had the Steelers taking Tommy DeVito with their last pick, just as sort of a, hey, get a another young player in your pipeline at quarterback. And I didn't think he'd be doing this for sure as a rookie. I didn't even think he'd be playing in the NFL as a rookie. And yet I think it does kind of show you how you can get, we've heard many times Mike Tomlin say he benched Trubisky for a spark last year with Pickett. He benched Chukwuma Okorafor to get a spark from Broderick Jones. And that, to me, sort of answers Mary's question. Regardless of how you feel about Mason Rudolph's overall body of work, I don't think he's really the type of guy who would give this team a spark at this point. If you think he would simply play better than Mitch Trubisky, maybe.
Maybe.
The last six quarters.
Sure.
A little bit in the second half against the Patriots, but still overall not very good, not playing winning football from the quarterback position. Sometimes people like to equate, oh, you said Mason Rudolph had his chances. Well, look at how he's done in his starts versus Kenny Pickett in his starts to this point, to which I would say, are we really going to pretend like Pickett hasn't had some incredibly clutch moments at the end of
right.
games? Fourth quarter comebacks that I don't really seem to remember Mason Rudolph producing when he got his opportunity in 19. So those aren't apples to apples for me. I'm not one of the people necessarily pounding the table for Mason, but I'll acknowledge you do have to respond to the events that are happening on the field. And if Mitch
Trubisky's
turning the ball over in Indy, if it's halftime and you've got 97 total yards of offense, then yeah, maybe I will make a change in that circumstance.
That's the circumstance I would do it, is if things just aren't working at all and you need to do something just to change things. And if it's on the quarterback, because sometimes it's not on the quarterback. I also think it's important to remember this. Some of those Mason Rudolph games people are remembering where he put up some better numbers, there were leaders on the offense. Marquise Pouncey was still with the team. David DeCastro was still with the team. James Conner was still with the team. And that allowed the Steelers to kind of have a place where a young quarterback could come in and just be like, hey, I'm not going to lead. I'm just going to follow those guys. And those guys would set the tone. And that's something the Steelers, I think, again, this leads to the void we're talking about here. They didn't replace Marquise Pouncey at center. There's no offensive lineman, I think, that carries the weight and the responsibility that him and DeCastro did for those offensive lines for the Steelers for so many years. And they for a time, they were just one of many leaders on the offense. We had Ben Roethlisberger, even Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. And Antonio Brown is known today as the crazy person that just goes off all the time and is still on Twitter, but you know, popping off. But there was a time where that guy was, he set the tone. He was the guy that stayed late after practice, would work with other receivers to get better. You need guys like that on offense to set the tone for guys like Mason Rudolph and Mitch Trubisky to not have to kind of all, you know, step in and say, hey, obviously, guys, I'm not the starter, so I'm coming in to help, but like I'm going to help us try to win. And you need guys to push forward. And I think that's one of the problems here. I do think I agree with you. If things are going terrible for the offense, Mason Rudolph deserves a chance. There was a point I was starting to get there against the Patriots. I even kind of got there at one point. His one touchdown pass kind of cooled it off, but Mitch Trubisky has to go into this next game looking like he has a plan, looking like he knows where he's supposed to go with the ball, because there were too many times against the Patriots he did not, and he looked like he was frantically scanning the field. If he does that in this game, big questions, because I can at least say, all right, you had a short week coming off a week where you jumped in the middle of it and started that week, and you had like 2 days to practice. You've now had the extended week after the Thursday night game going into Saturday. You have to be more focused, more coordinated in this effort.
Yeah. Otherwise, maybe we see Rudolph back at Acrisure Stadium against the Bengals on the 23rd.
Oh boy, we will see some other questions here as the weeks go along here. But this has been the Acrisure Fan Advantage reminder all season long. Go to acrisure.com/fanadvantage. Submit your questions, and Brian Batko, our Steelers insider, right here, will get them answered right on the show. And don't forget to tune back in for the Acrisure Fan Advantage on Friday as we get you ready for Steelers Colts with our official preview with Matt Taylor, who calls games for the Colts on their radio. But also, today's episode is brought to you by Savinas Kane and Gallucci. They're mesothelioma and asbestos lawyers with over 85 years of experience. Call them today for a free consultation. That's Savinas Kane and Gallucci. We're also brought to you by GameTime.co, a website that you can go to right now, or just download the GameTime app right to your phone to get the best tickets wherever you want to go to. And it doesn't have to be Pittsburgh. It can be anywhere. But if you are in Pittsburgh, and let's say on Saturday you don't feel like dealing with Steelers Colts because the Steelers have let you down too many times, or you don't want to watch Pitt basketball at 2 p.m., you can go see the Trans-Siberian Orchestra at PPG Paints Arena Saturday afternoon. It's an amazing experience, and the best tickets can be had only at Game Time, because they're going to get you the best price every time. They're so confident they'll get you the best price, they have a best price guarantee that can't be beat. You have 110% credit back given to you if you find tickets in the same section and row for less somewhere else. So you get the chance to see. Don't go to the scalpers. Don't go to the people on the street. You get to go on Game Time, pull up your phone, look up the tickets available. You see the best prices. And not only see the best prices, you'll see the view from those seats that you know you're not getting scammed out of those tickets like you would if you were on the street dealing with a scalper, not sure what the view from your seat was going to be. Get the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app today and create an account. And when you do, be sure to use the code PITTPIT for $20 off your first purchase at GameTime.co. Don't forget to download the Game Time app. We're back here on the North Shore Drive podcast. Chris Carter, Brian Batko. I'm here at Mike's Beer Bar for our Friday episode. Reminder that when you come here, you can get over 500 different available beers. Two of those beers that we're finishing on our flights here. We have the Arbor Trail Mix. It's an IPA. It's a 4.8%er. It's very light, and it's a kind of different tone for the holidays. And you can try ciders here. If you're not a beer person, you can try ciders. They have Arsenal Cider House, one of my favorite cider houses. They have the Snowbound Cinnamon. It's an 8.5%er, and it's lovely for this time of the year if you prefer a sweeter beverage when you get here to Mike's Beer Bar. Try all the different beers while you're here, because there's so many and so many different kinds. But, Brian, let's get to a few things here. The Steelers injury report to start the week. Now, we want to say we were recording this Wednesday morning. So there's going to be what, three other injury reports that come out after this one. But there's a few guys who did practice, who didn't practice. Cam Hayward notably practiced on Tuesday, which I thought was very interesting, because normally he doesn't. And he even kind of said, like, yeah, we all kind of pitch in right now, because he's a veteran. Normally he would sit back there. But other guys who didn't practice were kind of interesting. One of those being Najee Harris, who didn't practice officially last week before the game, but still found a way to play in the game. Should the Steelers be considered that be worried that Najee Harris could miss the game, and it could just be all Jaylen Warren all the time on Saturday?
No, I think they're just managing Najee Harris. I'd be more concerned if he'd obviously not played or been limited against the Patriots, but I think this is kind of standard procedure when you get this late in the season. December football, nobody's 100%. I think Najee will be back out there Wednesday, or at the very least Thursday. And I really feel overall solid about the health of the guys who are on the active roster. I think TJ Watt and Alex Highsmith being listed as limited Tuesday, despite being in concussion protocol, that's a good sign to start the week. Obviously, those things can change. It's fluid, but Cam Hayward too said he expects both to be back there, even though they will be preparing as if they won't have either one, which means getting guys like Marcus Golden, Nick Herbig, and some of the practice squatters ready to go on the edge.
If there are two starters on this defense that I think can afford to rest a bit during the week and get other guys experience, it is TJ Watt and Alex Highsmith. Another guy who missed practice is Landon Roberts, but I think it's the same thing as Najee Harris. They're just managing. Yeah. He played in the last game. I think he'll be good to go this week. So let's get to this matchup with the Colts. And this is a Colts team that they've been living with a backup quarterback. Gardner Minshew has been their guy. Anthony Richardson got hurt early in the season. They've dealt with injuries to Jonathan Taylor. They've dealt with their fair injuries, and they're at the same record with the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers have the tiebreakers right now to kind of sit on top of the stacked list of six NFL teams right now that are 7-6 in the AFC, and I think that's what makes this a must-win game for the Steelers if they want to have playoff hopes, because they need to be able to keep the tiebreaker on some of these teams to stay on the top of that list. When you look at this Colts team, what's the biggest factor the Steelers have to be concerned with here?
I think it's Shane Steichen, their first-year head coach, and his offense. Clearly, he had different personnel last year with the Eagles, but they didn't have much problem shredding the Steelers' defense out there in Philly when he was coordinating the offense under Nick Sirianni. And, this Colts team, They've got a little bit of Minshew mania going, but that was quelled to a degree by the Bengals last week in that loss. So they sort of squandered an opportunity against Jake Browning and company. Now you've got the Steelers going there, and we know they beat the Colts there last year. That was a different regime. You still got Jim Irsay at the top. I give every indie player credit for not packing it in with all the weird, bizarre things that their owner does throughout a season. So it seems like they're still playing hard for each other. And you know, the interesting thing about Steichen too, I've brought up this stat before. I'll be curious to hear what you make of this stat, Chris. Mike Tomlin 0-4-1.
Yeah.
First year head coaches in his last five meetings. Maybe it's nothing. Maybe it's a small sample size, or maybe one of his strengths as a head coach is familiarity with guys he's gone against a lot of times. And in this case, it's yet another guy who might have some different schematics, do some things differently that Tomlin and his staff aren't expecting.
That is certainly a thing there. And it's something to watch. And you're right. I mean, because at the same time,
doom and gloom narrative would be, it's a clear sign the NFL has passed by Mike Tomlin. But I don't know if I'm ready to go that far from a 5-game sample size.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is that this is 5 games. I'm sure if you expanded it back to 10 games, it'd probably be a little bit better. Not a full even keel, but a bit of a turnaround. The Steelers, I think, you know, I think the part of the issue is the past three, four years, they haven't been a Super Bowl roster. Like, this has been a team that's been middling at best. And I think that coaching has kind of helped it get up to middling in some of the years. You think back to 2019, that team was not supposed to go 8-8. You think back to 2021, that team was supposed to make the playoffs. And I mean, last year they started 2-6 without TJ Watt. No one thought that team was going to finish with a positive record. There were people saying there's a Mike Tomlin losing season clock last year. They still found a way to avoid it. I think that there's times where you look at things, you got to acknowledge, like, hey, the Steelers as a roster, just player to player, aren't as good as some of these other teams.
Jonathan Gannon has far from a Super Bowl roster.
Yeah.
With the Cardinals and just beat this team in Pittsburgh. Dan Campbell did not have a Super Bowl roster in 21 with the Lions. And hey, they tied Mason Rudolph
but again, like, I think that sometimes people get a little bit too caught up just watching the Steelers, because if you did that, you'd overlook things like Dan Campbell losing to the Bears in a key situation where the Lions are trying to keep pace and have a shot at being a good seed in the NFC playoffs. Every team goes through bad losses. And I think that's what the Steelers are trying to bounce back from here. Brian, do you factor in at all in your looking at this game that the Steelers kind of know that their backs might be up against the wall here looking at this after those two losses? Because that was part of my reason for thinking they'd beat the Patriots and bounce back, was that we have not seen back-to-back losses in the Mike Tomlin era like this too often. That was kind of unique, with losing to bad teams at home in back-to-back weeks in that fashion. And so this is a situation now where I think it expands. Does it cut off here? And if it doesn't, I think this is where, like, everyone thinks the season is out of control right now. They're still 7-6. If they handle their business, they're still in the playoffs. But they got to handle their business. Is that a factor that you consider at all in this game? Or are you still just looking at how these teams match up?
Yeah, they're still 7-6, but there are also still 4 more games for them to fall on their face even more. So,
right, exactly.
To your point, yeah, I mean, that's why I've agreed with everybody who suggested this is maybe the lowest point of Tomlin's tenure, and not because of the overall record, but again, you know, yes, he's been 2-6, but we're this late in the season and he did just lose back-to-back games against 2-win teams. Plus, he'd been 4-0 after a loss going into that Patriots game this season. And the fact that they didn't rebound and actually just dug themselves even deeper, that's an indictment of everybody, but of course, starting with him. I will say, though, that game Thursday night, I think I picked the Patriots more because of some schematic concerns and the Trubisky versus Bill Belichick game plan concerns. And a lot of that was, you know, that was displayed. That early interception was kind of just your classic case of didn't know what he was looking at. Patriots fooled him. Boom. Game-changing play. So that's sort of what I anticipated there. This week, much more gut and hunch oriented against the Colts team that is every bit as inconsistent as the Steelers team. And, you know, this would be their first 3-game losing streak since early last season when they were going through it. with Trubisky, and part of what prompted switching to Pickett. So maybe I'm talking myself into the Colts, but I only say that to make the point that they haven't been on any extended slides this season, or even going back to the second half of last year when they clawed their way back to 9-8.
With all that being said, I know it's Wednesday morning. I know it's way ahead of this game.
Yeah, so I'm not going to have a ton of like, hey, you got to watch for this tackle versus like, I'm not really there yet as far as the prep goes, but I will still give a fearless prediction.
What is your fearless prediction right now?
Steelers 19, Colts 17. I think they.
Whoa, he's picking the Steelers to win, ladies and gentlemen.
I think they stopped the skid. Again, I don't have any great reason why. It just seems like this is how Steelers seasons play out. And they'll get to 8-6. They'll still find a way to finish with a winning record. I've held fast to the belief that I'll believe it when I see it, that they finish under 500. So I'll stick with that. It might be a nonsensical game. It'll probably be a typically wonky, weird, ugly Steelers win. But they are due for one of those. And I would never suggest they'll win by more than one possession until I see that as well. So I'll say beat Gardner Minshew and the Colts by 2 on the road at Lucas Oil Stadium, but you might as well flip a coin.
I agree with you. Flipping a coin might be the thing to do here. I have it at a similar pace right now. I have 18-14 Steelers. I think it's a very weird game that goes in a lot of different directions, but the bottom line is the Steelers find a way to win this one. I too many times I've seen Mike Tomlin teams be on the brink of the season's about to completely fall apart. Yeah, sure, this is disappointing, but this could get a lot worse. And I think that right now, one thing that when I talk to
Cam, and there's probably a bunch of people watching right now saying, yeah, but Chris, not this time, to which I would say, you said that last time.
and the time before that, yeah. And the time before that, and the time before that. And that's where I go to here. And the other thing that I think is interesting, when we were talking guys in the locker room, there wasn't a sense of like, guys, this is it. This is the week. We have to do it right now. There's a sense of, hey, let's do our jobs. Let's actually execute. Let's stay the course. Let's be focused on the mission at hand and not be thinking about all these outside elements. And I think, in my opinion, that's the better approach than saying like, hey, we got to ramp it up this week. Like they haven't been trying. They know, hey, things have been in front of them. It's not that they haven't been in positions where they can win football games. They could have beaten the Cardinals. They could have beaten the Patriots. They should have beaten those teams, but they missed their opportunities on the field. If they start worrying about the outside factors, the things that we're saying on this very show, if they're looking at this and thinking, oh man, Chris and Brian, they might not pick us next week if we don't win this time, then yeah, they'd be a lost team. But they seem like they get that, and they're focused on the task at hand. I think they find a way to win this game. Like you said, low scoring, one score game, but more in tune with how they've won a lot of their games this season. He's Brian Batko. I'm Chris Carter. We're both of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. You've been listening to or watching the North Shore Drive podcast, which you can find on any podcasting platform when you search Post-Gazette Sports or the North Shore Drive podcast. You can also find us on YouTube. Like this video if you enjoy it. Subscribe to this YouTube channel to get all of our daily episodes that come out all week long, not just from us here at the North Shore Drive podcast, but from all of our sports writers who cover all the different beats here in town. Remember, we're the North Shore Drive podcast Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And this Friday, we'll have our man coming on talking about the Colts, getting you ready for Steelers Colts on the Acrisure Fan Advantage with that official preview. Thanks to Brian. Thanks to you all for checking us out. We'll see you here again Friday, getting you ready for Steelers Colts this weekend. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all the sports coverage from the Post-Gazette that we have to offer, visit post-gazette.com.